Good morning, everybody. Friday morning, and we are live right now. The Real Network, the Gareth Cliff Show, and Ben and Simpiwe and you. And we're going to be joined by a guest in a short while too, so stick around. There's lots of good stuff heading your way. I love that story about that kid this morning, in case you missed it in the first hour. He's under 2 years old. He's a toddler, and he is already Ghana's youngest male artist and the world's youngest male artist. Bloody cool. He's painting, he's painting things. And what are your kids doing? What are your two-year-olds doing? Drooling, filling their nappies.
I've missed all of that. What does he paint? What is he doing though?
He paints beautiful paintings. Yeah. Have you still got those pictures, show Ben? Look at that.
He's an artist.
And those are good. I'm telling you, though, that one on the right, I think, is spectacular.
And he's too.
You know, there are adult modern artists, in inverted commas, who couldn't produce something that good. That's good. I'd buy that.
It's a child on a canvas making colors.
It's phenomenal. But look how good it is.
I'm not doubting that he's creating something quite cool, but...
Yeah. No, he really is. It's very good.
Artist?
Yes,
he's an artist.
He's in the Guinness Book of Record.
Do you know, there's a woman who just did she was spitting at people.
Oh my gosh.
As a like performance artist thing in some London museum. And people were paying for the privilege of being spat on by an adult, obviously mentally deranged woman. And she calls herself an artist. So yes, this kid can call himself an artist.
Okay.
This is wholesome art, at least, and not somebody being rude and spitting at the faces of other people.
Yeah, look at him. He's enjoying it.
But does someone sort of keep the kid in the lines? So as he's scooting the paint up, do they stop him so that it's square?
So he has to be able to... Look, he probably goes over the edges of the painting, which is how they keep it, like, really, the canvas is full.
Yeah.
But he's not allowed any help as part of the thing. I can't believe we're talking about this again, but all right, I brought it up.
Because he seems like he's not impressed, Ben.
One of the conditions that the Guinness...
I want to be, but then I feel like I'm being false if I'm...
Ben, you know, you've got to give kids a little bit of a chance here. So... Apparently, what they have to do is they have to prove that he has to have an exhibition, he has to be able to sell the art, and he has to be able to do the work on his own. And so they recorded him doing the work on his own. So there's proof that this kid actually managed to do the work. He's not being helped. That's impressive.
So did he wake up and go, I'm looking for the complex array of these colors? And
no, his mother saw he was talented. Listen, do you really think most of these modern artists do any of that? They throw...
This kid is now a celebrity. He will be scrutinized like all the celebrities. There's no free ride here on this show.
Yeah, but you have to look at his age. He's two. Right now, you can't scrutinize anything because he's two. He's a baby doing amazing things.
Ben wants him solving physics equations.
Who is paying bills. Let me tell you, he's doing better than...
Ben had a kid.
Imagine
how that kid would have to start playing, championship level football at age three. Otherwise, Ben would take it to the orphanage and trade it in for a new one.
Of course not. I would be great with that. That kid would be loved and live a good life and play golf.
Yeah, sure. Play golf being the key thing. Yeah. If it wasn't able to wield the golf club by age four, straight back to the orphanage.
Awkward, yeah. It'd be awkward.
You'd trade it in. Exactly. All right, so tell us, Simpiwe, what are the things that this is depressing, but you know what? Simpiwe woke up this morning without electricity, and she's just preparing the rest of us for what's going to happen when our electricity ends after the election. So you may as well get used to other things that you won't be able to afford.
Yeah, so the disclaimer is this is for the middle class. If you're not in the middle class, this does not apply to you.
If you're already poor, then...
you weren't having these things.
Don't worry, you didn't have this anyway, so it's not going to get any better. Yeah, all right, let's go.
And if you're part of the top 1%, your life is just going to get better. You know? So this is for the middle class, and it's an article that I read where here are some of the things you might not be able to afford in the next 5 years.
Food? Transport.
So number one is extended family trips. So bye-bye to that.
Because the stupid governments of the world keep putting carbon taxes on everything so that they actually want to stop you from traveling.
Mm. Yeah, which is a problem. Number two is new cars. I don't know if you've seen how expensive cars are right now.
Yeah.
And even used cars are just as expensive. So I think we're all screwed there. Number three, private school tuition.
Yeah, but that's overrated anyway. Your kids don't need an education. Yeah. Like Ben says, just teach them golf.
Why you said, like, they want the accent.
They want the public school accent. Do you think that still helps?
I don't know. I never went to a private school, but I just know that joke. So
I'm not jealous of people who went to private schools, really.
No, not in the slightest. I think they've become too soft now because those private schools have become businesses.
Yeah, and no also some of them are so woke, and you know, the parents are, and
it's they have to be.
It's ridiculous.
It's part of the brand.
No, I'm glad I had a school full of like really rough people.
I didn't see any 85%ers in my school.
No,
Ben
didn't
even
know. Okay, that's also weird.
I didn't even know that was a rule.
You're not used to excellence.
Ben didn't know you could get 85%. He thought they immediately put a handicap on you when you get past 60.
Kids were getting wedged at 70%. You think they're going to get the extra 15? Madness.
All right. So,
well, welcome to the world of excellence.
So,
no
new cars, no trips, and no private schools.
Yes. Home ownership is also going to be.
So, where the fuck do they want us to live?
Who wrote this? Charles Schwab.
By the way, Carl Schwab of the World Economic Forum says he's going to retire at the end of this year.
From what? Being an absolute prick.
Yeah, he's going to retire from being a vampire and a destructive force for humanity.
An unelected authority of nothingness.
I know. Great. I wonder who's going to take over from him. Jacinda Ardern?
Yes. Oh, no.
Probably. She's toothy enough.
Oof. Okay. Well, on to the next one. Mm. But I don't think people should worry about this one too much with the whole NHI. Yeah. Healthcare costs.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it because now you'll have to pay a backstreet doctor to help you with all your stuff. That's what you're going to have to do, hey? Because this NHI is a colossal disaster. You're going to have to pay somebody to come around to your house late at night and operate on you in the insanitary conditions of your kitchen.
Yep.
I mean, what's life, guys? Like, if you
really
want to live...
It's exciting. You know what? Humanity peaked in the early 1900s. We peaked, and now we're on the decline. It's like every species goes into decline. This is our time. Eventually, some other great ape will take over from us.
Well, I think when Friends finishes a series, humanity went. That was the peak of.
You think that was the best?
That was the peak of humanity.
Okay.
That was the best time of being a human. Since then,
all right.
Waning.
I think we started to go downhill after the two major world wars.
No, I mean, the '80s were amazing.
Yeah. Well, we didn't live in the age of the Titanic, Ben.
Good.
Where there was lies.
By the way,
let you die.
Have you seen that graph of like deaths on the Titanic? All 1912 and then nothing. really good graph. Just, you know, I love bringing the information that people need on this show. Sorry, it's just very important. All right, carry on, Simpiwe, as you were.
The last two items is travel in your retirement and actually being able to save for retirement. So those are the...
Oh.
Yeah.
This is depressing. I don't know why you brought this in this morning. I'm very, very... What? Usually you bring in some nonsense survey that you pulled off of like BuzzFeed or something, but this is depressing.
Why can't you save for your retirement?
Because inflation.
They'll find a way to take it from you.
Everything else is too expensive.
Yes. They'll find a way to take it from you,
So
Ben.
People are not saving now for the future, and by the time they get to retirement,
it's because
they're
too busy
trying
to live.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the reality, you know, guys. So, I mean, this is a very important reminder, vote. And just do that.
Hey, I watched the most amazing thing yesterday. I watched a clip of, I love Bill Maher. I think he's great. He was on with Megyn Kelly. I might have mentioned this on Wednesday because I think I saw it just before then. But Bill Maher was on with Megyn Kelly, and she's so smart, hey. I mean, she practiced law for a number of years before she became a media person, and she knows her stuff. She's got unbelievable recall, too. She's got one of those eidetic, I think it's called an eidetic memory.
You can't forget anything? Or okay.
Yeah.
Is that better than a photographic memory?
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure, because I don't have it. So if I had an eidetic memory,
I've never heard of this. It's one of the smart people things again.
Yeah, it's a smart. This is what you get if you've got over 85% at school, Ben. So Megyn Kelly sitting with Bill Maher, who's also a smart guy. He's someone said something very unkind in the comments on the video I watched and said like, "Oh, Bill's the kind of guy that dumb people think smart looks like." which is, I don't think that's fair. I think he's carved out a pretty good career for himself, being fairly sane about most things. But sure, she took him down. I mean, it's worth watching just because, you know, America's also in an election year.
But she took him down without wanting to take him down. That's how bad he was.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He's just, he is so in, you know, this also happens, like people are in a bubble. They're in their own silo. They don't think things outside of that silo exist. And they start believing a completely false set of facts. You know, this whole thing of like my facts versus your facts as opposed to the facts.
Yeah.
And when they're confronted with actual facts, like Megyn Kelly, the example that was so glaring is she said to him, Hillary Clinton, just as much as Trump is an election denier, Hillary Clinton is an election denier. And Bill Maher was like, no, she isn't. She never said that. And Megyn Kelly was like, no, she said exactly these words, and then played the clip. And Bill's like, oh, well.
Well, he said, well, you got your story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What as a thing
like,
to say.
No, no, you that's your not story. Your story. It's just called the truth.
Whew. Smoking.
Didn't Crooked Hillary write a book, How I Didn't Win?
What Happened is what it was called.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't you love it when people pull out receipts?
Yeah.
Like,
they're
so calm with it. They let you say everything.
It's like those people who, when you're having an argument about what happened in business, and then someone brings up a chain of emails, and they're like, actually, here's what happened. And you're like, whoa, all right. Yeah. Suppose I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
love it.
It's either you need that skill of keeping records of everything or that very, very good memory, which.
Eidetic
memory.
I'm so glad I remember that.
No, I'm going to look that up now because you're making me nervous that I don't know what I'm talking about.
I just thought a photographic memory was good enough.
Okay. Yeah, to some extent.
Yeah, eidetic memory. Here we are. It is the ability to recall an image from memory with high precision for at least a brief period of time after seeing it only once and without using a mnemonic device.
That's amazing.
Mm. So if you can, like a lot of people who find it very easy to read, to scan instead of read, you know, that they literally just they look at a page for a second and they gather all the useful information from it in a moment.
And that's a skill in itself.
It's incredible. There are people
I'd
like
that.
So here's the good question that you will hopefully will solve your question, Ben. The answer to this. People with eidetic memory can continue to see the image in their mind's eye even after the actual image has disappeared. People with a photographic memory may not always see the image, but they can recall its visual details with great accuracy.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
That's the difference between the two.
Mm. Okay.
And there is no, this is an interesting thing too, there is no relationship between eidetic memory and a high IQ. So someone who has the ability to recall an image in fairly good detail doesn't necessarily also have a high IQ. Mm. IQ is kind of pattern recognition more than anything else.
Hmm.
But it is a great indicator of intelligence.
I get why they say that, but like, if you had that, and they say you go study law, where it's a lot about remembering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the moment, you could pass and get a degree, and then like when you're actually at the court case, would you be able to present the case accordingly? Well, or
you are
just
describing the show Suits here, aren't you?
Yeah, because that was the whole premise for the younger guy.
And yeah,
he basically had a great ability to remember stuff, and then went into the trial. Went to the exam, or didn't even write the exam, just got the job.
Yeah.
Right? Bullshitted his way in. No, that suits.
Okay.
Jesus, look at us trying to figure out the plots of shows that ended 12 years ago when people weren't princesses. Right?
That was a great show.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was a bit wishy-washy.
Did you think so?
Yeah.
Listen, is there anything good at the moment? Because since The Gentleman, I am struggling.
No, and there's somebody who DM'd me to say, you should talk about the Ultimatum essay. No, we're not talking
what
reality.
What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a reality.
I mean, I know it's on Netflix, but I don't know anything past
it's
that.
It's a reality franchise that has now come to South Africa.
Yeah?
And I think you guys will be proud of me. I have now forsaken my love for reality TV. So I've not watched.
Oh, good. Well, I'm proud of you, but I'm also just thrilled that you
what
have all this free
final
time
straw, Sophia?
No, Sophia's going to have free time. She's going to have time on her hands. This is very good.
I'm still going to watch like series and watch. Not.
She's going to bring us depressing lists of what we can't afford on a
this
Friday.
This is what happens when I grow up, guys. But I know. So the last straw was watching Love is Blind season 6.
Oh,
and
season 6.
And how it ended, I was just like, yeah, I'm done knowing too much about people's business and their relationships. And it got me high and low and people breaking up and not making up. I was like, I'm done.
It sounds like real life when you have friends.
So I was like, I'm done with reality TV. And now the ultimatum essay has come. And someone was like, you need to talk about it. No, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not doing that to myself. No. I've done away with reality TV.
This is a sad moment. Let's just let's all mourn the death of reality TV in the Mtetwa household, because this is the end of it. I mean, they've lost a major supporter in you.
Yeah, they have.
How are you going to fill that void? What are you going to fill it with?
So I've always liked watching series and movies, so I'm just going to continue doing that. I mean, Bridgerton season 3 is out.
Ah,
so
I see lots of people who are very excited about that.
So I'm like, this weekend we are binge watching season 3. Like, yes, like I want to fall in love and just get lost in that. Grey's Anatomy's new season is out. Definitely going to start like binge watching that.
That's still going.
Yes, it is. I think they're at season 20.
Jesus.
It's still going. So things like that. I know, right?
Wow.
I've heard some things on this show, but that might be the most horrifying thing I've heard. How is that show?
Look, it's amazing. And they still have an audience.
Still the same characters as washed up nurses. And
some, but the premise is still the same. Horny doctors in a hospital.
Someone told me that it was like those lame nicknames like McSteamer.
Yeah, McDreamy and McSteamy.
Yeah, it's great. It's a thing. They've not changed.
They must be 100 years old by now. They were McDreamy and McSteamy in the 90s, right?
Yeah, some of them have died. You know, they've gotten rid of them, you know.
That's horrific.
Yeah, like that's me now.
Well, JP's just reminded us his name was Mike Ross in the show. That suits.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then Congo Chris says, and I think I agree with this completely, Congo Chris, Boston Legal was the superior lawyer show. Suits can suck it. Well, speaking of people, like Bill Shatner, William Shatner, is still alive. He's still completely cogent. He's in his 90s. Oh. Like, how can William Shatner be as good as he is in his 90s, and there are people in their 60s who are like falling to pieces?
Because he wants to be.
It's amazing, right? I mean, that really is spectacular. Go look at, like, you could find an appearance he's made on a TV show recently, and you look at the guy and you're like, 90-something? Phenomenal. Like, some people really just have it.
He's just still enjoying himself.
He's clearly having fun, yeah.
Like, old people get old, I think, because they just don't enjoy themselves anymore. They become so caught up in all the other shit around them that they just die slower. But, I mean, William Shatner, the memories that guy, he must have jawed hard in the 80s. He must have had some stories.
I think he did some very cool
things. So why would you want to die if you're William Shatner?
He's got a lot of stories to tell. I would love to sit with William Shatner for an hour. I reckon your mind would be blown. The things that guy got up to.
Yeah, Boston Legal was good. Suits was like the sort of simpy male version of that. That's what it came back to, because that was a time where men were being simpy, and then that's
they were on the decline.
Yeah.
Again, you know, the strong men make good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create bad times. Bad times create strong men thing.
Yeah.
That's what's happening there. By the way, Bridgerton, Sam Griffin says, Bridgerton is a load of crack with a subplot stolen from Gossip Girl. Now, I refuse to watch Bridgerton, not because I don't think it's brilliant, and I hear it's beautifully made, and it's Shonda Rhimes.
Yes, it is.
Apparently very, very good show, but I can't watch it because it's not historically accurate, or even it doesn't even pretend to be historically accurate. Like it really is just a soap opera played out in the Regency period, which is awesome, or in fact the Georgian period, time of George III and Queen Charlotte, right?
Yes.
So I believe it's very well put together, but I know I'd get really annoyed watching it because I'd immediately pick up on the fact that this is not anywhere near what history was. So, but that's a great time. I mean, the outfits, the houses,
and they were so regal. And she's done a splendid job of like making us fall in love with language again. Just how even the guys talk to each other, but even the partners that they're pursuing, and it's not just like a random
courting
guy. Yes, but he doesn't come up to you and he's like, I like you. You know, they don't.
People would court. Now, courting has gone out. It doesn't happen anymore.
And then there's like this air of mystery, and then they have to go to the ball, and you're kind of like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Listen.
So it's a full on drama. I understand why you wouldn't watch it. Superior, I love it.
Will you eventually graduate to Downton Abbey?
I don't know.
This is it.
It'll eventually happen. As she gets older, it will.
This is the path.
I
had such an interesting conversation with Siv and Gessi about like relationships in the year 2024 and kind of hookup culture and everything. It's from Monday's show if you want to go and listen to it if you haven't already. And it's tough out there, man. I saw a video of a girl, an American girl. Literally, she was crying, filming herself crying, which is not a great idea. Don't ever do that, because then it'll encourage you to do that every time you have any kind of emotional outburst. And actually, people might have been interested the first time, but by the third, they don't. Mm. And you're just looking for trouble. Anyway, I felt sorry for her because she was saying she's attractive, successful. She's got a nice life. She's got a dog. She says she just wants love, this woman. She's like, I just want love. And I can't find love anywhere. And I think the wrong place to be looking is probably online.
Yes.
That's a good start.
Well, may I start by asking...
I felt sorry for her.
May I start by asking, does she love herself?
No. And that is exactly the problem. It's like she hasn't figured out what she wants. So,
and you gathered that in like a 60-second
video. Yeah. Oh, you can tell straight away.
If you can't love yourself, no one's going to love
you. And
you
know...
It's quite simple.
If you watch a video of anybody on the internet and there's more me's and I's being said than any other words, you kind of know that the problem is them. They're admitting it without knowing it. Just count the me's and I's.
This is a very obvious thing. Look around. The caliber of people isn't what it used to be.
No.
Okay.
Men and women, very bad quality.
It's all declined.
Gareth, see what you can do to get Simpiwe onto a season of The Bachelor SA. Would you do it?
I think I would. The Bachelor is tasteful. It's a very, out of all the reality TV shows, that I think is the most tasteful. You get to go on multiple dates and they all know that you're going on these dates.
But all those other bitches, Simpiwe, wouldn't you want to scratch?
Wouldn't you want to scratch their eyes out? So, I mean, there's The Bachelorette, so I'd want to be the main. I'm not trying to compete.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be in the rabble here.
You're not a cameo. You're the staring.
Yes, because it gets ghetto when you are the one who's like fighting for the person's attention, and I'm not that. I want them to fight for my attention.
Can see Simpiwe coming to that rose ceremony with a baseball bat and just slugging all the other chicks out of the way.
You know, so I think out of all, I've thought about it, like which reality TV show I'd ever do in my life. I think that's the most tasteful.
The Bachelorette.
Most tasteful.
That's a very good question.
Because and the thing is there's still a lot of room for you to have decorum. And a lot of these reality shows, it's just debauchery. That's the reality of it.
I mean, Naked Goose mentions MILF Island. Did you know about MILF Island?
No.
Old ladies and pool boys.
Like,
There's an actual...
Who's executive producer?
I mean,
Madonna.
No, that's Gilf Island. Madonna's on Gilf Island.
But it's a very good question. Like, if you were to go on any reality TV show and just assume that you wouldn't get prodded by the producer to go do this and say this, what would it be? So you would say that. Mm-hmm. What would you want to go on to go?
Well, I was on one as a judge in a singing show.
I mean, sure. But that
so
was
that's
more
not exciting
contest.
For me. I mean, I've been there, done that, Ben. I don't really have anything else to say about
reality.
Yeah,
but that was more
TV.
A talent contest where you needed, like...
And they asked me. I didn't ask them.
I put it this way. You were never going to win Idols because...
No.
So when I mean like reality show... As in
would I want to be as a contestant?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Deal or no deal?
Oh, yes.
Because just as a contestant, you just win. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like none of them appeal to me, really.
That's good.
There are these... They're these survival ones, but I'm not so sure
like
I could
Survivor.
Do it. No. The ones where they just drop you in the middle of like nowhere and you have to
Amazing Race?
Survive. No. Oh. I can't remember what it's called.
Naked and Afraid.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. No, I definitely wouldn't want to do that. What are my options? Because none of these appeal to me.
Okay,
I wouldn't want to be on TV.
Give us the options here because you're the one that's just obviously gone through this
most
recently.
You're probably going to say no to all of them.
Would you want to be The Bachelor? Got to go with no.
Clearly.
Would you want to do that?
It's a
Not a
no.
chance. No, I wouldn't do it. No. Not for $1 million because the anguish that the guy who is The Bachelor has to put these girls through. I've watched 5 minutes of an episode and I'm like, I don't know who would put themselves through this. It's horrible.
Yeah, and then you're known as The Bachelor after that.
And then, you know, none of these girls like you by the end of it. They might have, maybe one or two of them might have ended up being your friend, but you've like told them to fuck off.
Yeah.
In episode 4, and they'll never want to see you again.
Okay.
So no, I would hate that. Plus,
so normal life then.
So wait, in terms, there's quite a few different love shows. So you'd not do any like
no,
looking
I wouldn't
for love,
want, no, because no, you're not going to get any tears out of me.
Love
you're
on
not going
to
get any love on the spectrum. Maybe that's probably the only one I could do.
So no Love is Blind for you.
I'd be very bad quality as a contestant because I wouldn't deliver what the producers want. You know, they want crying and they want emotion and they want love and they want hugs and they want kisses and they want And I'm not going to do any of that stuff because it just doesn't motivate me.
Okay. So. Would you do... I know it was short-lived, but I think it was one of the best shows as well. The Real Husbands of, like, Hollywood.
Hell no. Oh, those are even worse.
Oh, gosh.
You talk about, like, the scandalous behavior of women on The Bachelor, but those women are even worse. I mean, you know, look at all the memes that have come out of those Real Housewives shows. Ben's favorite one of the cat.
Oh.
I mean, all those memes that have come out of those shows, just the most terrible, terrible, low-class people.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, there's not much more.
Just leave me out. I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, there's not much more after that.
If you don't have to be part of a team, I would like to do Survivor.
Okay.
You would?
Yeah. But I don't want to have to team up with people and help weak people. If it was Survivor individuals, okay. I'm in.
But isn't that also like the point of it? You're part of the team, but you win the money at the end of the day. So you need to plot and scheme and be actually the guy.
Sorry, a correction. It's not called MILF Island. It's called MILF Manor.
Ooh, even worse.
So much classier.
Even
MILF
worse.
Manor, where the pool boy meets the MILF. I mean, that's a good show. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? 8 out of 10 cats. That's a good show, but it's not really a reality show.
You know what show I think you would do?
What is 8 out of 10 cats?
It's that show with all those British comedians, and they just basically talk shit about each other and bring up interesting facts. It's almost like QI. Yeah,
I think the one you should, but it's gone now. The Weakest Link. I think that would
guys,
be
these
up
are game
your...
shows. He's on reality
okay,
TV.
But still, like,
I was a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and The Weakest Link for charity. So it's not interesting. I've done these things before. It's really
did you win the million?
No, I didn't.
That's how you
which is also you know what I'm like. If I don't win, I don't play anymore. So I just left.
What did you get wrong?
I can't remember. Of course
you can.
10 years ago, more.
Of course you can, because you're still bitter about it.
Who was our person?
Jeremy Maggs.
No, he did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but who was our Weakest Link person?
Oh.
I don't know, but I think she's dead. So I win.
Wasn't it Isabel Jones? No, it was.
I'm still here, bitch.
No,
you might have won the Weakest Link, but I'm still here.
The Weakest Link essay was that woman who looked like Anne Robinson but just had a massive nose.
Yeah, I don't remember her though. I don't remember her
Fiona
name.
Fiona someone.
Fiona something. Yes.
Oh.
No, I don't think she's
dead.
How do
I know this?
Hang on, let me look her up. This is going to drive me crazy.
Gareth dodged utatako of a child in Northwest. So that's also a reality.
Oh, that's true. Oh, here we go. Fiona Coyne, found dead. Yeah, she's dead. 2010, she was found dead.
Oh, shit. No.
That was shortly after I was on the show. It's total coincidence.
You're a bit too happy about her death, Gareth. Where were you 10 years ago?
This is a dodgy show this morning, huh?
All right, guys.
What would you be on, Ben? Survivor?
I want to go to Survivor. Take me to any sort of strange island and I want to win.
I'd like to be a cameraman on Below Decks, says Proper Gender. The Ultimatum Essay is a real shocker, says Marco.
It's horrible.
Try The Biggest Loser, Gareth, as in lose some weight. Yeah, I could do that. That would be fun.
Jeez, what a bird.
Are you going to come up with
good.
The...
Ben for Naked and Afraid, says Mo Rabbit.
Yeah, I could do Naked and Afraid as well. I would not be afraid.
Would you do Fear Factor?
As long as I'm not eating anyone's semen, yeah.
Oh,
Because that was
shit.
Basically what Fear Factor came down to.
All right.
Hot girls eating scrotums of animals.
Oh, my God.
Okay, thanks. Well,
even
on that
worse.
Note.
All right, that's where we're going to call it quits with Ben. Chase him a hell out of the studio. And let's get our guest in here because it is time for us to meet somebody who I saw this stuff on social media not so long ago, making a big noise. This is Q Dube, who's on TikTok, and you can find him. We'll put up all the details now. Actor, comedian, MC, influencer, voiceover artist. Like everyone in the entertainment business, he has to do everything.
Yes.
You have
to. The only
thing
missing is DJ.
But you have to do everything in this business. Otherwise, you won't make any imali and you won't be able to live. That's how it works in this
world. Can I brag for a second? I've got to see him live.
Oh, you've seen him live?
At the roast, yeah.
Very nice.
And he was quite funny, huh?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
I did laugh at one or two of your jokes.
Isn't that nice, dude, when someone says, you're actually quite funny, and you're like, yeah, I know, I've been doing this for a while. It's my job, right?
But yes,
you feel good about
it. But you also bomb sometimes, so I mean.
Hey.
It's been a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a professional man, Sin Piwe. Don't upset him on his Friday morning.
Yeah, okay.
You've already upset everyone else in South Africa.
Oh, sorry.
You're already.
Sorry, ultimatum team.
So you got into some trouble a little while ago, and this is where I first heard about you, because you said something about smelling like a Zimbabwean.
Oh,
and
man.
People just emptied their minds and their mouths on you. They did not let you get any quarter on that front. I mean, I don't understand why people were so upset. First of all, you are Zimbabwean, so you're allowed to say whatever you want about Zimbabweans.
Right.
Second of all, who is so sensitive that this became the biggest issue in the world? Like, just remind us of how it all unfolded.
So, look, I will say I kind of understand, right? Because usually there's this thing of saying comedians have a license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think not to insult people, right? And not to make people uncomfortable, to start a discourse maybe, but or make someone a butt of a joke, fine. But if it's now an insult, right? Because when people started talking to me about it, so what happened was I was on this podcast that we do called Sensitish. And the whole idea is, hey, man, we rip into whoever, whatever. So they asked, what's your biggest fear? And I said, my biggest fear is, what I wanted to say was, my biggest fear is people saying I smell like. Because that's the stereotype.
Okay.
But in the moment, I said, my biggest fear is smelling like.
Okay.
As Zimbabwean.
Ish English, and then,
yay, man. And then
so what's the big deal? I mean, so, first of all.
You should have ended with, it's giving Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Man, so the deal.
Shame,
Garrett,
dude,
is,
I'm sorry. What a stupid thing to be a controversy.
You
didn't deserve that.
So yeah, when they got upset, the people that spoke with me said, look, we get what you were trying to do, fine. But where you said it is where the problem is.
Oh, please. Do these people, are they in the right place for this? I mean, what's the show called?
Sensitish.
Yeah, please.
Right.
I think the audience that got upset were maybe on the wrong podcast by mistake.
Right, yeah, because they said...
Meant to be listening to some, like, vaginal yoga therapy or something.
Yeah, so that was their thing. They were like, you are saying that to South Africans.
All right, so how does a Zimbabwean smell? Just level with us.
They smell okay. I'm a Zimbabwean. I smell.
Gareth, how are you doing?
Get a bit closer. The bitchiness. Yo, Simpiwe is on fire this morning.
Oh, she's on fire. I felt a move. Like, I felt.
I did that slight,
yeah,
like,
that,
like, and then you look away. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
So you've performed in Zambia, the UK, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Swaziland, and you were the stand-up comedian of the year in 2017. It's not so long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still a very, very tough business in comedy. You're only as good as your last show. And, you know, there are no places that are doing this. This is what we were talking to someone about just the other day on the show. There aren't like comedy clubs anymore, which is a sadness, man.
Yeah.
There was a time where they were all over. In fact, just before COVID, the Goliaths had that place going in Melrose Arch.
Melrose, yeah.
We had a place in Monte Cassino with old...
Parker's.
Joe Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many places that just don't exist anymore. So what kind of, are you doing a lot of corporate stuff?
Corporate stuff and a lot of like what we're surviving on now is pop-up clubs. Someone goes and asks for a venue and whatever. But then that means we're all competing for the same spot now.
Let me ask you about the corporate ones for a second.
Right.
Because I was talking to a bunch of people who control budgets, marketing budgets in these corporations. And I said to all of them, you've got to be a bit braver because there's so much marketing out there that's just watery and uninteresting now. Mm-hmm. And the same goes with comedy. Like, they want a comedian because they know that, and South Africans have a great sense of humor. And most of us are not sensitive. We're not the kind of people who get upset about things like who smells like what.
Mm-hmm.
But it strikes me that corporations will say, oh, we want this guy. But then they'll say to the guy in the brief beforehand, it's like, just avoid this and avoid that and avoid that. And eventually you're like left with, hey, ever been on the plane and there was someone in the seat next to you who took up more space than they should have? And then someone will go, oh, no, but you can't do that. That's fat phobic.
Right.
Everything eventually becomes out of bounds.
Yeah. And what you find is it's not the corporation. It's the booking person.
Already?
Yeah, it's the booking person. One of the best corporates I ever did was that. Like, I got that brief and everything went well. But they were coming from a golf day. So now it was now the award ceremony thing that was meant to MC. And then the CEO is there and is like, yo, you're going to fucking make us laugh today. I said, sorry, sir. What did you say?
So were you allowed to go there?
Oh, I said, sir, can I? He said, yeah, man, that's what we booked you for. Let's have a
awesome.
Shot.
Awesome.
We had a shot and then got on.
And did so you talk to the booking person afterwards and say to them, calm the fuck down?
Yes, when I started. Good. I started, okay, I think good. Halfway through, I dropped an F-bomb. Then I looked at her and she's panicking on the side. But everybody is gone. They're laughing. And I was like, ha-ha-ha. So that's, you get those.
Well, I'm also excited by the fact that there are lots of people who just like now that politics is the election's happening, and once that's over, then we'll know what we're in for the next 5 years, and we can all stop being so nervous about this stuff. Because really, a lot of comedy's coming from the politicians at the moment.
Oh yeah, true.
They actually, I mean, that ad that Musi Maimane put out this week, where he goes, "Ah, suga siril."
Right.
Love
I thought that
it.
Was fun. That was fun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was good. We are a country that likes to laugh. We're a continent that likes to laugh. People laugh no matter how hard their life is.
Mm-hmm.
They get laughs in. It's good. We need this. It's like therapy for us.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. So Mapelo says, your joke was upsetting. I think the smell one still, he's on it. Because it had an element of truth. Yo.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so Mapelo's going for the jugular. Very good. And I just think maybe South Africa is ready for us to become rude to each other again. Like, I like a little bit of rudeness. You see it online, but people need to be able to pull that off and then laugh afterwards in real life. There's nothing worse than, like, you say something to someone and then they go, instead of, ha-ha, you know,
right,
ha-ha
right,
is
right,
always
right.
better.
Right, right. Our first point of call is always to be upset.
Yeah, well, it's become that way because I think it gets rewarded online. But in real life, it doesn't get rewarded. No one wants to sit around a miserable person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, true.
What do you do when you're looking for material? Where do you go? What do you see? Is it just day to day? Is it things that happen in your life? Or do you?
I think it's day to day for me, man. Like, there's too much happening around to want to try and do theatrics and gymnastics with trying to prove I'm the smartest to get to a punchline. It happens every day.
Do you watch other comics and get some inspiration there sometimes?
No, because funny has kind of gone down now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think funny has gone down now.
Oh, like, my God. Are you trying to resuscitate it? Because we need all the help we can get.
I mean, yeah. There's a few guys that I'm like, okay, all right. You got the thing. You know, other than that, it's like, ah.
You want to name them?
Guys that got it?
Yeah.
I think Mojack Lihoko, I think, is a very funny dude.
Cool.
Sfiso Nene is extremely funny. Celeste is funny. Robbie
She's
Collins.
She's been great for a long time.
Robbie, man.
Robbie's
good. Those are guys I would leave my house to go watch.
But they've also been in the industry for quite some time, all of the guys you just named.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it takes, I mean, this is the great thing, right? Experience, because the more you do, the better you get.
Mm. Right,
and,
right.
And as I understand, I'm not a comic, but as I understand it, it's like doing being an athlete. The more you train and the more you're doing your thing, running or jumping or whatever it is, the better you get at it.
The better you get at it. Yeah, that's true.
You learn to deal with crowds in all kinds of different situations. Are there any crowds that you get nervous about, like age group-wise, race-wise, whether they're rich or poor? Is there any nervous kind of situation you find yourself in because you think, these are the kind of people who don't laugh so much?
Right. No, not anymore. You find that, I mean, we're all the same. And now with social media, we're all consuming the same stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So you go with, I did like a show in Tembisa the other day and super fire. But now I was on a lineup with Venek speaking comics only. I'm from Zim, so I can speak Zulu, but you can tell my Zulu is not here. My Zulu is, man. So I was like, no, that we're fine there, we're fine.
I think we can all get those first little bits right. It's after that it breaks down.
When we get to KZN asking for directions, then then you can tell, man, something here is very Mugabe here. But then I jumped on and I was like, I'm gonna do my English because that's me, and you know, one of the best shows. You know, so not a lot of shows where you're like, I don't know how I'm gonna fare here.
Zimbabwe is a great source of material though.
Yeah,
I mean, like, obviously there are all those so poor jokes that are coming out of Zimbabwe, but things are not just about that.
Actually,
like Zimbabweans, the ones I know and see regularly are some of the funniest people because, again, they've seen it all, right?
Right.
So they've got nothing to hide anymore. They're like, everything's funny. Yes, our country's a disaster, but we're like optimistic, happy people.
Exactly. Funny enough that you say that. That joke came from a Zimbabwean, a friend of mine.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he said it to me and I was like, I'm going to use that. And then, yeah, it didn't go down well when it got to back to Zim.
Okay.
But yeah, it's
Are people back home sensitive about that if you make fun of Zimbabwe?
It depends who you're making fun of it to. Because to them, they were saying, you're making fun of us to people who don't like us already.
Oh.
So you're feeding into that. You know, that was their whole
argument. They've chased you down the street with pitchforks and things.
No, not yet. not yet. So, yeah. But hence why I was saying, oh, okay, then I understand what you're saying. So they were saying, if you said it anywhere else, that's funny. But to people that don't like us,
so level with us here in South Africa, because we have been told that we are very xenophobic and South Africans are full of shit and that we don't treat people from the rest of the continent. Well, we think we're better than everybody else on the continent. I don't believe any of that crap because as far as I can tell, it's not as bad as it was maybe 10 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what can South Africans do better? Give us some honest truth here. Like, lecture us a little bit because we deserve it.
I think understanding, right? That decisions are made in offices that we can't access. So I always tell people that there used to be a visa requirement for Zimbabweans to come here. Mm-hmm. That was great. We found out in the papers, just like, hey, no more visas to go to SA. And we're, oh, so these are decisions that were made in offices.
And nobody
that
tells anybody.
Nobody tells it. We're not there. And then we're left to fight, right, each other, where whoever made that decision in that meeting know why they did that. Someone somewhere is benefiting up there, right? Mm. And then we are now left to fight on our own. And that's where it becomes sad. You know what I mean? And
do you ever worry because, you know, if you don't have, I mean, it's hard enough for a South African because we don't know with our own police whether we're in the right or the wrong.
Mm.
But do you ever worry and do you maybe have friends who are also from Zim or other parts of this continent that come here and they're nervous to even report things to the police when things happen to them?
Mm.
Because it'll turn into a them thing rather than the crime.
Mm. I've never had that experience, actually.
Thank God.
Yeah, I've never had that experience. No.
Because our police are sons of bitches, I can say it.
Really?
They're the worst, man. Bribes, corruption.
But that's everywhere.
No. Ours especially bad. And I know for a fact that there are people who I'm close to who have had our police say to them, you know, oh, you're not from here, so you better pay up. And then they extract bribes from you. Yeah, it's happened. That's why I brought it up. I'm not trying to depress you like Simpiwe does. You know?
Well,
Simpiwe depressed us with like 7 things we're not going to be able to afford in the next
it's
5 years.
I'm not forgetting that.
I'm not forgetting that
this
morning.
It's okay, guys. So, like, you can give up on life now. It's okay. You know, have a baby. When they're 2, let them paint. They'll make money.
Well, I mean, that's definitely one thing you could do. There's this Ghanaian kid. I'm not going to repeat the whole story again. There's this Ghanaian kid who, under 2 years old, is already selling paintings. He's like the world's youngest artist.
Ooh.
It's phenomenal.
Oh, that's lovely. You give me an idea. I've got a kid coming in September.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's yours?
That's what we're going to find out. We are going to find out, firstly, and then once we get past that.
How does that work when you have to find out? I'm asking for a friend, obviously. Mm. If someone says you've got a kid, what's the process? Does anybody know for sure? Simpiwe, do you know?
As in process of finding out?
Yeah, like what do you do? Do you have to go for tests and then DNA test?
DNA, yeah.
Holy DNA. Shit.
And say, all right.
How accurate do you think it is?
Accurate enough to put me at ease. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. Do a DNA test. I think it's like
whether it is or it isn't.
It isn't, yeah. 1.5, you get to know.
A lot of money.
Is that how much it is? 1,500
Yeah.
Sounds like you've done this before.
Now that is.
Let's not talk about things. We're talking about being specific here.
Don't just settle so confidently.
No, because I researched.
Don't besmirch the man's reputation. I think that's interesting information. I've always wondered, and now I know. Yeah. So, guys, if you have 1,500 rand and you're not sure whether it's your child, now you know. Right? You even got the price. That's why this show is useful to people.
Right. A friend's neighbor found out during COVID when he looked at his boy, and I think the boy was playing, and he was like, no, man, something here. This
Can
kid is not mine.
Imagine that. Mm. Imagine raising a kid and then finding out at like age 5.
Yeah, yeah,
that this is not yours.
Utatako.
Where that happens. I know.
Where they find out when the kid is like 20 and whatnot. And it's so sad. It's also like, hey, our moms back in the day.
Right, because we all think it's only the guys, because obviously men have earned a reputation and it's not a good one in that respect. But there are lots of women who also, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's so sad to see that like image of someone just kind of get thrown away in that moment, because all your life you've only known them with this man, and you can't picture a life with them like being young and doing
doggy
anything.
Style. It's like it doesn't. It's like, mom, you sucked a dick, mom. It's like you can't. Yeah.
You can't. And then on the show where she's like, yeah, if it's not him, I don't know
who it is. Yeah.
And you're like, wait, how many were they? She's like,
oh my God.
I don't want to share, but.
Yep. Yeah, Rebellious Ruth says she knows someone it happened to. Hectically heartbreaking. I just imagine all that effort, all that love, all that time. Like, you know, there are a lot of shitty dads, but there are a lot of really good dads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Imagine putting in all of that and then finding out after years, like, this is not my kid,
not my kid.
I've been raising someone else's kid.
Dude, what would you do? Would you stay?
I don't know. You kind of, it's almost like a sunken cost thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've already put in the effort, like it depends what age. If the kid is still 2, I suppose you could
check the diesel.
But otherwise, I think you've almost got a responsibility to stay.
To stay.
I think it's just, otherwise you're really breaking and ruining a person.
Mm. Do you tell the kid though when they're of age to understand?
Yeah. Everyone deserves the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who've adopted kids, and then they get to a certain age, and they're like, "We've got to tell the kid now that they're adopted," and it's usually in their teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
And it's kind of obvious if, like, you know, you're white parents who adopted a black kid, but it's not so obvious.
We got something to tell you.
Yeah.
Sanele, we've
got something to tell you. Your dad and I.
Oh, the reason we can't do your hair is because.
Yeah.
But you know, people talk about red flags
yes.
in relationships. We date, by the time we break up, they say, no, but you should have seen the signs.
Yeah.
Are you telling me babies have no red flags? Like when you're seeing this kid and you're like,
Well. There are famous incidents from history where people haven't known until much
until later.
Yeah.
No suspicion, not even one.
So they say a kid looks a lot like its father in the first couple of months of its life. Like there is a genetic predisposition in infants to look like the father so that the father looks after them, because we are animals and, you know, animals will throw a child out of the nest if they don't think it's theirs. So the child will look more like the father in the beginning of its life, once it's been born and for a few months after that, so that the dad can connect mentally, make
That's
the connection.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a well-known phenomenon. And then obviously later on things change a little bit, but you don't always look like your dad. That's the case for most people. Is you might have different hair color. You might have different eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You might have different skin complexion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be lighter, darker. You could be all kinds of things. And I think for a lot of people, it's confusing. I wonder how many dads. This is a really hard question. I wonder how many dads look at a kid and go, "Is it really?"
Yeah.
So, I mean, first of all, you have to have no respect for your wife at all to start thinking that.
On that note, I've heard something very similar, I guess, with my people, my people being very specific, where they
the
say...
The Mtetwas or the Zulus?
Right.
Just
guys, the Mtetwas.
Just oh, where... The blacks. Yes, where... it said if the father denies the kid, right, during pregnancy. So if I tell you that we're expecting you, like, that's not my child at all. Mm-hmm. That when the kid comes out and it really is yours, the kid will look exactly like you, copy and paste. Yeah. So that's the only time.
That's probably where it comes from, though.
Yeah, that's the only time that rule would kind of apply. And that's how a lot of the family would be like, oh, he used to deny the kid.
Yes, because
the kid, the kid looks exactly like you. And that's how a lot of... The dads would have to be like, okay, then I guess this is my
this
child.
This is mine.
Yes.
Or if the kid has a bigger peepee than yours. Like, you know when you can tell?
Well,
like,
if you're a kid, then you have serious problems.
Then you're like, man, okay.
Basitsana says, my brothers look like our father. I look like my brothers, not my father. What's that about? I don't think you know how logic works, Basitsana. Because if your brothers look like your father, this is like one of the earliest... forms of logic equation, right?
Yeah.
If A plus B equals C, and C minus B equals A, then, so here we go.
You look like your dad, man.
You look like your dad. So you do, Basitsana, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Carl says, because the baby is bald and the dad is bald, they must be the same. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thurin says, facts upon facts, Simpiwe.
Hey, man.
Bronwyn Pile says, my lastborn looked like neither of us at birth. I even asked the father if he was the father of the child that they pulled out of me. He looked like a white person's child. Yes, sis. Conga Chris says there's another Zulu test where you put the kid in front of the father's cattle.
Okay.
Is that true?
I don't know. I've grown up in the city all my life, the burbs. So I don't, those kind of tests are not... No, I don't know about that.
What happens when you put the child in front of the cattle?
I guess they're supposed to react or not react. I'm presuming that's the test.
Well, you know what's happening in America a lot more now, and this is exciting, is that people are going for DNA tests because they're doing these 23andMe's or these DNA things that tell you where your ancestry is.
Yeah, Ancestry.com. Like
3% this, 12% that, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they go for these tests, right? And then they're getting their results and they... doing them for their dads or their moms or their brothers and sisters as well, and they're figuring out that they don't fit. And then they dig a little bit deeper and they find out that they don't fit.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? So if you are in a situation or in a family where you're not 100% sure, maybe you shouldn't go digging.
Yeah, just chill.
In case, you know?
Just chill
could
it
be
out.
Just be happy.
Yeah, you
quietly
know.
Mind your own business.
Especially if you're from...
I look nothing like my brothers and sisters. I'm just going to shut up and mind my business.
Yeah, I look like my brothers. They look like my dad. Basitsana, keep quiet, okay?
Yeah, Basitsana, I think you should
keep
shut
quiet,
up.
All right? Because what you shall find out, we won't be there. I'll be back in Zim. We won't be there.
Nico says, a lady gave birth to a little ginger child. The doctor saw that the mother was blonde and asked what color the father's hair was. She said he never took off his hat. Yeah, you see? Janet says, I've always said any guy can make a child, but it takes a real man to be a dad. So huge respect to all the real dads out there, biological or not. Yeah, I think that's a very fair comment, Janet. I've often thought that the most amazing people in the world are the adopting parents, you know, the people who actually take a kid and, oh, Janet, I see your daughter's a ginger. Oh, okay, well, that changes everything. I'm kidding. it's more common than you can imagine. Hey, someone said that in South Africa, and I don't know how true this is because I don't have the – Azalea says, the stats are 64% of fathers are raising children that are not
that
theirs.
Are not theirs. You see?
Well, this going back to the show Utatako, I've watched at least easily 1,000 episodes of that show.
Wow.
It was a religious thing. Like every week we'd watch that thing and it's a constitution.
Mm. Did you get a watch from the show afterwards?
No, I'm just saying like...
I see what you did there.
90% of those episodes, the dad was not...
The biological.
Yes, right. And the lady couldn't account.
90% of them.
90% of that show. So I do think that stat is real. Just basing off a show where they went to the rurals and they did the test, and the lady would be back and be like, yeah, I actually picked you. I always knew all along that you weren't the dad, but I picked you because you were financially stable than my ex-boyfriend. Or, I had a life and I really don't know who the baby daddy is.
This is not just guys sleeping around. These are women who have actively plotted against these men.
Yeah.
They married. They've been married for 13 years. There's four or five kids later. And here's the one who's like, yeah, I'm 15 or 20. Life is tough. Or I want to know my dad or whatever. And then they find out that this is actually the guy you're crying about is not your dad. So, hey, that's the reality though, hey?
Well, then you also get the rakhadis at the funerals who like come out with all the stories, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to do with DNA tests, but some rakhadi will stand up at the funeral and go, well, let me tell you the truth about him.
Right.
And then all the tea is spilt.
Yeah.
Now it happens, this thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very glad that we dug up this very ugly thing. Now I can imagine lots of people watching and listening to the show are going to go off and have their DNA test done. A lot of people going, I'm just going to check this out.
It's
I've never really liked that guy.
Right.
What if he is my dad? I think we may be helping people. That's what we're doing. So when are you doing your next show?
Next show is going to be actually, this week is quiet. Thank God. Next one is in Tanzania on Saturday.
Oh. You see, we're not going to fly to Tanzania, so I'm not even going to let you plug it. Mind you, there might be someone watching in Tanzania. Go ahead, plug it.
Yeah, Tanzania, the punchline. Then from there, I leave from Tanzania to Kenya. Then from Kenya, I'll be back here.
Okay. And
very good.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Then all right, man. The thing. Well, it's very nice to meet you, Q. Do people call you Q?
Yes, Q Dube.
Okay.
Well, what's the short for?
What is it?
Mobizita.
Okay, so I was going to say, must we just call you Dube?
Yeah.
Because we could have done that as well.
You see? Mobizita is the name. Mobizita. Means to conquer an enemy.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's a very Zulu name.
So, yeah, it's Zulu Amdebele.
Oh, okay. So you're not that far. So you can say 69.
Yeah. 69.
Yeah. All right, listen. Dube.
Yes, sir.
There we go. Has shared the stage with all kinds of people. Trevor Noah, Basket Mouth, and Kansime Ann. Oh, I love
her. Oh, it's fire.
Oh, she's fantastic. We've got to get her in here again. When is she coming to South Africa? Love that woman. Luis Ogola and many others. And he is performing in Tanzania, which means unless you're going to be in Tanzania, you're going to miss out on him. Mm-hmm. But he'll be back in South Africa soon with a whole lot more of that. Mm-hmm. And you've got your own podcast.
Yes, Sensitive Podcast.
Very good.
So, yeah, you can check that out. It's on YouTube. And
very good.
We just talk crap. That's
All right, man. I love it. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Simpiwe.
Thank you, Garrett.
And have a good weekend, everybody. Your last weekend of electricity. Enjoy it.
We'll see
you. Yeah, we'll see you on Monday. And then we've got, that Wednesday off for voting. And beware the Mahoshas. That's what we've learned this morning on the show. Beware the Mahoshas.
Last week of electricity is funny.
There are lots of Mahoshas.